Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you so much for being here and making Pack-A-Day part of your daily routine. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment, give those five-star reviews. In just a moment, it is Justice Mosqueda Day. Always appreciate Justice. He's the absolute best, and you can check out that conversation momentarily. Before we get there, we did get the full injury report after Justice and I recorded, so figured I'd go over that very quickly. From a Cardinals standpoint, there were just two players that did not practice that actually had some form of actual injury, not just rest. Kelvin Beachum did not practice, but it was a rest thing. The other two, Amari DiMicardo, the running back that had, of course, the big fumble against Tennessee, he did not participate, as well as Zay Jones. Everyone else participated in some capacity, including Kyler Murray, who was limited on the day. That's the big one to keep an eye on for Arizona. Also, of course, the other big wide receiver that you have to keep an eye on as well in this one, Marvin Harrison Jr., he did have a limited participation, but was still in that concussion protocol as well. So the big ones to keep an eye on there for Arizona, again, Marvin Harrison Jr., concussion was limited, as well as Kyler Murray, also limited in their practice participation. I should note as well that the Cardinals were a walkthrough only on Wednesday, so it wasn't a full practice, so take that for what it's worth. From a Packers standpoint, Aaron Banks, Anthony Belton, Josh Jacobs, Jacob Monk, Jordan Morgan, Christian Watson, and Dontavian Wicks were all limited. Warren Brinson, Javon Bullard, Matthew Golden were all full participants. And then those players who did not participate at all were Brandon McManus, Zach Tom, Lucas Van Ness, and Devontae Wyatt. So there is your full injury report for the Packers, and the key ones to note for the Arizona Cardinals as well. It's, I think, mostly a good update. We talk about it a little bit with Justice as well, but I think mostly a good update for Green Bay. They didn't get any of the Colin Oliver, Marshawn Lloyd type players back, or Brenton Cox as of yet. So that's a little bit noteworthy. But Christian Watson continues to practice, and you have only four players. Now, it's a big four players, right? Wyatt, Van Ness, Zach Tom, and Brandon McManus. We'll keep an eye on all of those through the course of the week. When Matt LaFleur talked, he didn't seem to completely rule out Devontae Wyatt or anything like that. But of course, we'll be tracking those injuries all week long right here on Pack-A-Day. Now let's get to that wonderful conversation with the one and only Justice Mosqueda. We are being joined now by the wonderful Justice Mosqueda. You can find him only on acmepackingcompany.com and of course at JUMOSQ on social media. Justice, it is great to be chatting with you. How are you doing, my friend?
Can't complain too much. Sure would have liked if Oregon won this weekend, but other than that, doing fine.
I did see Mel Kiper has your quarterback as his number one overall prospect on his big board today. So there's that.
I guess. Mendoza played pretty well, though. Dante, yeah, he's a really interesting guy. I think his best trait is just he's a really tough quarterback. Like, I think if you're going to compare him to anyone in the NFL, I think his best comparison is like Stroud. So, yeah, I guess do with that what you will. I know a lot of other quarterbacks who are getting hyped are not performing well. Like, you could look at Allard now is dealing with the season ending injury. Trying to think,
Arch Manning
obviously is not
Sellers.
Yeah. Sellers is banged up. Klubnik's team is like 500, right? So I guess we got to find someone. I'm sure happy my quarterback is Jordan Love, though. Glad we don't have to go through the cycle. I know some people were like, why are you paying him all that money? I'm like, every starting quarterback is getting the same money now. I'm sorry. That's the reality we live in, bud.
Outside of Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, am I missing anybody? Like, there's the upper echelon of top QBs right now, where it's like Josh Allen, just you watch him play and it's like, man, that's just, it's so different. And then they're still struggling, by the way. But Like, there's maybe that top three right there. Like, you can put Jordan in the category of pretty much anyone else right now, the way that he's playing. And I'm not going to, if you want to put a few people ahead of him, if you want to put him ahead of a few other people, I'm fine with having the conversation or whatever, but he's playing as well as anybody, maybe not on that upper echelon of quarterbacks.
Yeah, I still think like a game today, I would maybe look at like Stafford and Herbert, but like if you wanted to trade Love's contract for Stafford's contract, you could do that today if you wanted to. The Rams would beg to have long-term quarterback security, you know? So, I'm happy we are not going, you know, wandering the wilderness looking for a quarterback right now, because it is getting spooky. I run the NEA numbers, which are basically, you know, it just boils everything down to like plus or minus yards relative to the NFL average, right? There's like 10 teams right now. They're like, why are you even playing football? Right? Like, you guys aren't going to make the playoffs. You guys are so bad that it's obvious that you're not going to make the playoffs. And it's only October 15th. You're staring down a lot of games that are just going to have zero meaning to you moving forward. It's not good.
No, it's not. Also, like, we just talked about, you know, some of the quarterbacks. There's a lot of quarterbacks in this draft class, but you're not finding a ton that are like NFL ready right now that are just, you know, annihilating college football. And if you need to like acquire someone, you're probably calling San Fran for Mac Jones, maybe Washington for Marcus Mariota. Like, good luck. Good luck out there. It's not a great spot to be in.
Yeah, no, I am very happy my quarterback is Jordan Love.
I'm right there with you. Let's talk about Packers Bengals. Just in general, before we get into some of the reaction to it, what did you take away from this game, good, bad, or ugly?
I thought some of the stuff LaFleur said was pretty interesting about it, like where he said that he had to like juice up the offensive line and was basically like, hey guys, we're seeing a bunch of too high. You can't scheme against that in the passing game. It's going to be a long day if we don't start moving people, and they seem to react to it, right? Josh Jacobs got all those yards on the ground. I think ultimately, what they run for? I think it was like 130 or something.
I was going to say 135. It was my gut reaction to it. So we're in the same realm.
Yeah. So, you know, you run for 130 and you throw for 10 a pass. It's a pretty good game on the offensive side. I know people were expecting a little bit more fireworks and stuff like that. Obviously the Jordan interception took a score off the board, the scoring drive, you know, off the table, all that stuff. But I thought the offense did pretty well. Still cautiously optimistic about the offensive line. I know some people are on this thing where they're like, where are we seeing this improvement for the team? Dog, the offensive line, like, do you guys remember the Browns game? Like, we couldn't get anything going. We were petrified to do anything against the Cleveland Browns. Like, there's getting your starting five in there and having them play their first full game together the entire year is progress. Now, mind you, this was with a banged up starting five where Zach Tom isn't practicing today on Wednesday, was saying that, you know, he was so hurt, or he was fighting through so much pain, he doesn't even remember half of the game. Rashid Walker missed practice on Thursday of that week. And then Aaron Banks was dealing with two separate injuries, you know, on the injury report going into it. So I think it's going to look better. I'm not really worried about the offense so much. I will say the other thing that I mentioned, you know, LaFleur talking and stuff, where he's up there on the podium and is openly like, yo, we might be poorly conditioned, you know, specifically in the box. That's what I saw too. Like, they were just totally spent by the fourth quarter. And it's just like one long drive can take them out. Cause that's what really set everything off.
Yep.
You know, that 10-minute drive was the only drive that Nasir Stackhouse came into the game. Didn't play any snaps before or after that 10-minute drive. But like after that, the game like completely changed, I thought, from the defensive side, because we were able to stop everything And then it's just like, oops, nope, our energy bars are on zero now. And Joe Flacco is going to have time to like throw some of these routes that he didn't previously. So I think that that's a big concern. We've brought this up a couple times, but like, I'm not asking you to be Max Crosby, right? Max Crosby plays like an incredible amount of snaps. Like he's plays like
all the snaps. Yep.
89% of snaps for the Raiders on defense. Right. But like Rashawn Gary's like peak from like a season long perspective in Green Bay has always been like 55. And that's pretty crazy. You know, there's other guys like Aiden Hutchinson, Miles Garrett, like all those guys are playing 85 plus. The third drive of the game, Rashawn Gary's not even on the field ever. Right. And I just don't know how long they could live like that, because you can only have so many bodies at defensive end on a 48 man roster, and they're having to backfill defensive tackle reps with their cheetah package where they're playing three defensive ends. But I don't know if you can do that when your defensive ends need so much rest.
Yeah.
And they get spent. And even if you're playing Rashawn Gary on a pitch count, he's still getting spent. Right. So like, I do think that that's a legitimate concern, and it's really been a concern for me the entire time in Green Bay. I always thought the team was just being like very conservative, because they kind of have been since like Dom Capers with their pass rushers. But we're starting to see the effects of like, okay, let's start playing some 3DN packages. And it's like, oh, these guys aren't ready to fight through the fourth quarter if that's the case. So I kind of think if this wasn't okay. So Matt in the Dallas game, right? He turns down the fourth and two, and he's like, yeah, our defense was playing really good up to that point throughout the season, all that stuff. I didn't think I needed to be that aggressive. This should be eye-opening at this point, that this is a team that needs to get up early. You have to kick down the door, build up a lead, so that your defensive line doesn't get worn down in the fourth quarter, because we've seen it two games in a row now. So I know people have been joking about the all gas, no break stuff with LaFleur, and they're like, where the heck did that go? It needs to come back, I think, because we're a little bit more of a glass cannon than you would have expected after the first, you know, three games of the season when we weren't letting anyone score points.
Well, the reason it's concerning too is because they do have, I mean, at defensive end, especially now, I know LVN might be out this week or whatever, but you've got, you know, Enagbare started games for them. We'll talk in a little bit about teams potentially even be interested in Kingsley Enagbare. But you've got Rashawn Gary, Enagbare, Micah Parsons. And then who did I miss? Rashawn? Rashawn, LVN, Enagbare. And then Sorrell. Like you've got a good chunk of defensive ends. Yeah. You're keeping five active on game day. And to your point, they are like, they're not putting Rashawn out there for 60, 70 snaps where he should get tired. Same thing with LVN. Like they, I could see if Micah got a little bit worn down at the end of the game, but he's not seemingly to be the one that's as much of an issue. So it's weird that like they are rotating and they're still getting gas. The other thing is, you know, kind of from your point earlier, the opening of this game is three plays for Cincinnati. Then they had a 9-play drive before half, but it was 1 minute of game time. Like they it was just quick, and they missed a field goal at the end. It was just more like no huddle and spikes and some things like that. Like they should have been not even remotely gassed after that first half, where they just completely breezed through the first half of the game defensively. So yeah, one 17 play drive, as taxing as that may have been, should not have taken it out of them, where the rest of the game, it's like, well, sorry guys, we don't got anything left. So good luck to the offense. Like that can't happen.
And mind you, they're rotating during that entire time.
Right. For sure.
Like I said, Gary's off the field on the third drive entirely. I think they used every defensive tackle on that 17-minute drive. I bet everyone other than Cyril got in at defensive end. I could check that, but I'm just going off the top of my head. Yeah, it's not good. You have to be better than that. I don't know how else to put it other than that, man. Because especially like you know, we have the Cox injury that we're dealing with. We have the Colin Oliver injury that we're dealing with. Now we're going to be dealing with the LVN injury. Like, guys are going to have to step up and play even more snaps. And
yep. Wyatt, obviously, you know, too.
No excuses. And, like, Carl Brooks in this game played, like, 20 more snaps than Rashawn Gary did, if you include, like, special teams and all that stuff, because he's doing a bunch of stuff on special teams, too. And it's just like, yeah, man. When you can't, like, when Parsons and Gary can't perform in the fourth quarter because they're gassed, like, that's a bad thing. And the defensive tackle unit is getting worn the hell out because you have, like, all your backups in that game are what? It's a six-round rookie and an undrafted rookie at defensive tackle. Like, yeah, they're not supposed to even be playing this amount of snaps this early on in their careers.
Yeah. Yeah, they got to figure that out because right now second halves are not good enough. I know we've all pointed to like 80 points allowed in the second half, 20 in the first half. Everyone's talked about the drives recently in the second half where it's like a billion touchdowns and field goals and one punt during that time frame. Yeah, just not good enough. They're going to have to be better. Just going back to a couple of those other conversation points really quick. Packers had 153 yards rushing in this game against the Bengals. However, 26 of that was Jordan Love scrambling. So in the 130s for the actual rushing game. And then the other thing I want to say just quickly about Zach Tom. There's a picture I saw. I was just scrolling through trying to get photos for a project I was working on. And after I think it's Tucker Kraft's touchdown, Zach Tom is going full up, jumping as high as he possibly can, chest bumping, arms in the air. And he's just like flying through the air. I'm like, my brother, like if you are in such excruciating pain from an oblique injury that you're not remembering the second half of the game, maybe slightly easy on the high flying chest bumps following touchdowns. Let's tone it down a notch. We don't need anything pulled on the way up of some crazy jump on a touchdown celebration. So that's my one request for Zach is maybe just tone it down a little bit in those situations.
Yeah. Don't help yourself. Help yourself. Yes.
Very, very much so. All right. Now that we kind of went over this win in general, I wanted to ask you your thoughts. There seems to be some angst, some frustration, some, overall non-excitement about a Packers 9-point victory over the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't know. I'll just leave it at that. What are your thoughts on where that's at?
Dog, after the last two games, I'll take a win. I'm in the mood for a win. It's our first win since September 11th, right? And the NFL is so bad that we're the 2 seed in the NFC right now. Like, okay, fine. Like, it looks sloppy. We survived. We're in a good spot. Like, we're one. If Detroit beats Tampa next week, we're the 1 seed in the NFC, right?
As long as we take care of business.
Yeah, as long as we take care of business, right? That's all that matters, right? So I'm just more of a looking forward type of situation right now where, you know, I'm using the past to like identify issues with this team, which I think there are some. But then, you know, just projecting it moving forward, like, okay, we got to win. That's all that matters. Like, that's all that's going to matter for playoff seeding other than making sure guys stay healthy. That's all that matters going into January.
I've been thinking about this a lot this week. So I was at the Brewers game two, brutal game to be at. They lose five. I don't even know. It doesn't matter. They lost by a lot at the end of it. And thinking back to all of the heartbreaking Packers losses in the playoffs that we've had to go through over the course of the years, there is so much heartache in sports. There's probably more frustration and heartache than there is excitement and jubilation in sports. It's going to grind you down. And
only
you
one out. Team wins. Only one team wins at all.
Exactly. Yeah. But even above and beyond that, you don't need to do it on a 9-point win. I promise you, you don't need to do it on a 9-point win. It's going to catch up with you. You'll have plenty of time to complain and be frustrated and tear things down and want to be mad. I'm not saying that we can't identify issues. I'm not saying that we can't have constructive criticism and feedback about what's going wrong and some of the things that aren't going the way that we would ideally like them to go, like you and I have already been doing and discussing through the course of this episode. But holy cow, if 9-point wins are going to get to the point where we have zero enjoyment and we are like, oh, like don't wish that upon anybody. I wish nobody had to view that game. Like, we are in for a really, really difficult sports fandom from here on out, because all the other stuff is already brutal. That's probably going to happen when it rips your heart out at some point in time. Man, enjoy the small things, even if it is just a 9-point win over the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, the other teams are trying too, folks. Just us.
Well, here's the thing too. Like, every single game is going to have something that the opposing team did well. They are going to have game plan something, or have a Jamar Chase, or have a George Pickens, or a Dak Prescott, or they're going to have something that they do. It doesn't automatically equate to, we suck at that thing, that we are catastrophic, we're never going to be able to stop it, fire that person or cut that person or trade that person. There's going to be things that the other team goes one up on you throughout the course of the game, like, and through the course of a season. To your point, the other team gets paid, we all know that, but like, they're going to have something that they do well. And so at some point in time, like some of the Jamar Chase plays in this game, I'm sorry, I just have to tip my cap and say, dude's freaking phenomenal. Like, He's one of the ones. Yeah. And like, even Micah Parsons before the game was saying, like, yeah, he's one of the ones. He's going to get his 100 yards and 2 touchdowns, whatever. And he pretty much did in this game. Like, it blows my mind that, like, if perfection every game is the only thing that is appropriate and or that we can celebrate, man, it's going to be a long sports fandom from here on out.
Yeah, the Jamar Chase stuff, particularly like the second half, like, I don't know what you want to do, man, because Keyshawn's out there fighting. Keyshawn was out there fighting. Sometimes he's getting thrown penalty flags and stuff like that because of, you know, how aggressive he's being and stuff. And I think the Packers, you live with that. Because if you're playing man coverage and stuff and you have that guy on the outside, there's not that much that you can do. So you just say, hey, fight like hell, and hopefully we win one of these, right? And he won a couple against Chase. So I know, like, PFF had him, like, super lowly graded. I bet that that's not how the Packers view it internally.
Grade it yet, but I'll get there too, and I'm interested to see how that looks. But if I'm being honest, 10 for 94 and a touchdown for Jamar Chase, I'm not throwing the mission accomplished banner up, but I'm like, yeah, I like, as long as it's not like 180 and 3 touchdowns, all right, like, I can survive if everything else kind of goes according to plan. I can survive a 10 for 94 and a touchdown day for Jamar Chase. Like, he's that good.
Yeah, it's him and Jefferson. Like, I know people throw like CD there. I'm not there with CD. Like, they're a different stratosphere to me. Those guys are different.
No, I'm right there with you. All right. Injury updates. You kind of talked about a couple of them already from Wednesday's practice. LVN doesn't practice. Devontae Wyatt doesn't practice. Brandon McManus seemingly did not practice. And then I'm missing one other one. Oh, Zach Tom does not practice either. So those are the players who don't practice. Wicks seem good to go, which is great news. Bullard seemed good to go, which is good news. And then Anthony Belton as well was practicing. So I think overall, I'm encouraged. It also didn't seem like Matt completely ruled out Devontae Wyatt for the remainder this week. We'll see where that goes. But I feel pretty good about this injury report overall.
Yeah, and, you know, you're probably going to get, I would assume, I mean, I guess, like, if it's not this week, it'd be next week, right, with Christian.
Yep.
Even if it is just on the 53 and, you know, maybe inactive on game day or something like that, if they want to, you know, make this go a little bit longer. No, I think it's, in general, you know, stocks up on being healthy. Hopefully the offensive line looks a little healthier too. Like, I think that'll help a lot. I'm worried about the LVN stuff coupled with the Devontae Wyatt stuff, but we'll see where we're at the end of the week.
Yeah. I'm curious on Christian Watson. If he goes, it certainly seems like Watson is like thinking he's ready and chomping at the bit. And it certainly feels like, you know, even like
I think he thought he was ready in like August
week one. Yeah, for sure. And it certainly feels like even Matt LaFleur is saying like something of like, Man, he looks really damn good last week. It almost feels like they understand like the normal timetable for this and are really not wanting to push it too far. But at the same time are like, yeah, he seems ready to go. I think you just give him like 10 to 12 snaps this week and see how it goes. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, you and I make decisions every single day, but on Prize Picks, being right on those decisions can get you paid. Don't miss any of the excitement this season on Prize Picks, where it is good to be right. It's time to start getting ready for week 7. Yes, week 7 already, as Green Bay is set to take on a dangerous Arizona team in the desert this Sunday. And let's just say I'm going to be keeping a very close eye on the top tight ends for both teams in this game. Elsewhere in week 7, I'm going with a big game from Justin Jefferson and a dominant performance from CJ Stroud. Here's the best part. Prize Picks is the only app that offers stacks, meaning that you can pick the same player up to 3 times in the same lineup. Want to pick more on CJ Stroud's passing yards, rushing yards, and touchdowns? Now you can pick all of them in the same lineup only on Prize Picks. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today using code Packaday to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code Packaday to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Don't forget to use that code Packaday. Prize Picks. It's good to be right.
I don't think that that's a bad idea. It's going to be interesting to see how they manage that, though, because at the receiver position, you already kind of have Savin Williams on a snap count. So can you have 2 wide receivers who are on a snap count? When Wicks dropped out, they had to play Malik Heath a whole lot. What happens if that happens against the Cardinals? Right? I mean, that's part of the equation, too, where it's like
true.
All that. So. Yeah,
it's a good point.
Savin Williams, I think he got like 2 of the like first like 48 snaps of the game, and it was a carry out of the backfield and a fake end around. Right, he's still very much a gadget player on the offensive side. So he's still very much on a snap count until end of games where they throw him in and just kind of have him block cornerbacks and stuff. He's not really there as a true receiver right now.
True story. That kind of brings me to the other topic with wide receivers, and especially it's going to even get more, I think, with not just wide receivers, but the weapons on this offense in general. It's going to get even more complicated as Watson and eventually Reed comes back as well. I forget who Wilde asked Stenovich about last week about target share. And then Steno was like, I feel like you asked me about a different player every week in target share, and was kind of going back and forth with Wilde on it a little bit. And then Matt got asked about Matthew Golden after the game of like, does Matthew Golden need a larger target share? And Matt was like all up in arms and being like, no, that's not how we do things. It's not how it's going to work. Then basically Nick Sabanine this thing and be like, I'm not going to, so quit asking. And then, you know, I see the article, I think from Ryan Wood, it was in Packers News, of basically said like Tucker Kraft needs more targets. And it just feels like there's going to be a different flavor of this player that gets pointed out every single week of, oh, this player, like if Josh Jacobs doesn't get to 20 like touches, like, you know, Jones used to not get to 20 touches. Why didn't Josh Jacobs get to 20 touches in this game? And if Romeo Doubs isn't getting any targets, like, well, do you need to focus on Romeo Doubs more in the red zone? It's always going to be somebody. Dontavian Wicks even went out of this game and it was still an issue with target distribution. And that's without Christian Watson and Jaden Reed. It just feels like this is a never ending, you know, sort of merry-go-round of like who's popping up this week, of which guy didn't get targets. And I don't see that changing. I don't know how you feel about it.
No, they don't want to force feed a guy. We had some internal debate in the APC Slack right after the game where we're like, do we write this up as like the Matthew Golden breakout? And I was like, yeah, because I don't know how many more times like any of these receivers are going to be fed 100 yards, you know? Even though Romeo Doubs is like heading away wide receiver 1 through the first 6 weeks of the season, I don't know how many times he's cracked 100 yards total. That's just not how this team does business. And they want to run the ball. Like, Matt does not want to throw for 300 yards, right? So, that's just going to be the situation that we're in right now.
Do you want to guess? This is actually kind of really interesting. Oh, wow. This is even more interesting than I thought it was. Hold on one second. Let me get through this entirely. All right. First of all, when was Romeo's last 100-yard game?
He had the 3-touchdown game, right?
Yep.
So did he get 100 on the 3 touchdowns?
He did not.
Okay. Then I'm out of answers.
The Cowboys playoff game in 2023, 6 okay. for 151 and a touchdown. And then I'll just spoil my other one right away. That's his only 100-yard receiving game in the NFL was that game against the Cowboys when he went 6 for 151 and a touchdown in that game. So yeah, it does not happen very often. We all know that one year it was Bo Melton who got the first 100-yard receiving game. And then they had a few right after that, including Romeo in that Cowboys game. But yeah, it just isn't a team that has 100-yard performances. The one, I won't give much fantasy advice, Justice. The one thing I said is stay away from Packers targets. Yes. Josh Jacobs is probably a fair fantasy play. Outside of that, just stay the heck away, because they might go 1 week for like 80 and 2 touchdowns or something, but then they might go like 5 weeks without seeing like, you know, more than 2 targets in a week. You just have no idea.
Yeah, you have no clue. You have absolutely no clue. And it's only going to get more cluttered, again, to your point, when Watson and Reed come back too.
I will say there is one player that I do think does need a little bit more and a little bit more focus, regardless of all we just said. I don't think Tucker Kraft can go 2 receptions or 2 targets in a game. That one to me, and I know everything we just said, and I know I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth now. I'm not saying he needs 8. I'm not saying he even needs necessarily 5. I'm just saying 2 does feel just a little bit not enough for, you know, every time you get the ball in his hands, it feels like good things happen. That's one to me where it just feels a little bit light on his end.
Yeah, I mean, there's some interesting ways you could do it, right? Like, all the Hasuai Juke stuff that, you know, the Patriots made famous, where you spread everything out and then you basically give the guy an option route. You know, there's ways that you could probably feed him the ball that aren't just like design screens and stuff like that, which I don't think you want to live in a world where you're like, correct, man, we gotta call the tight end screens. Like, I don't know if that's a winning proposition in the NFL in 2025.
I know it's not. So yeah, I'm with you there. Just, it feels like maybe they're just a tiny bit, just a smidge more emphasis on Tucker Kraft. That's probably all I would ask for there. We spoiled it a little bit earlier, but there was the report from Jeremy Fowler, 49ers looking for defensive ends. Rashawn Gary's name got tossed in there. I know our guy Easton Butler talked a little bit about potentially Kingsley and Igbari being a name that's come up as well. I also saw some of the stuff where teams have called on some of the Packers wide receivers. I see Romeo Doubs' name continue to get mentioned. I'll let you get to all of it in just a moment. I'm going to say it one more time. Just, I have no interest in trading anybody away that is in any sort of playing time with the Packers right now. This is a team that's trying to win a Super Bowl. I don't need less players on this team. I need more. They have draft picks available if they need to trade something. I know they already traded 2 firsts. I'm not saying that they should go out and, you know, just try to mortgage all of the future. But if I need a player, I'm going shopping with draft picks, not with players.
The DN thing. Good God, does the last thing that this team needs is to send off a defensive end, you know, be it Gary. So if we trade Gary, right, with LVN out, Brent Cox out, and Colin Oliver out, what the lineup looks like is Parsons and Kingsley and Igbari starting, Baron Sorrell being the third defensive end, if I have my math right.
Yep.
And then you're probably calling up Aaron Mosby, who basically doesn't play the end. He's only a special teams guy as your 4. No. No. Pardon. Veto. Veto. Not happening.
Unsubscribe.
Yeah. The Igbari thing, too. Like, if everyone were healthy on the defensive line and you didn't just come off of 2 games where you were worn the hell out on the line, I could see them moving off of Kingsley, right?
Yep.
Right now, in the state that the D-line is right now, no chance. Wide receiver, I think the only guy that they would even consider it for would probably be Doubs, because I think you want to keep the contract for Wicks, right? And same thing with Watson. You want to keep those guys under contract in 2026. So it's not even just a proposition of, okay, you trade them away for the rest of 2025. But Doubs has been playing well. He's kind of been your steady Eddie at the wide receiver position at this point. And I don't think that they've got, like, I know, and by the way, There are people who said we were full of crap about the Dobbs stuff, and now Fowler reported all this stuff. I think Steinman did too, where they were like, "Oh yeah, they've received calls about Dobbs since the spring." Guys, no one ever admits it until you throw it out there in public, right? They've gotten calls about Dobbs and they've never said yes.
Yep.
So I think it would take an offer that would blow them away. Like I think it would have to be maybe like a third plus something, even if it is like a day three selection for them to move off of Dobbs, even with Watson and Reed coming back. And I don't think that they've gone close to that. Like at the trade deadline, I know one team called them about a sixth round pick for Dobbs. It's like, no, dude, you'll get a better comp pick.
You'll get a better comp pick.
Yeah. And if you look at the free agency class, one, no one's ever going to hit free agency because salary cap is going up $25 million a year, all that stuff, right? We're getting worse and worse free agency classes, which is why you can look at teams at the bottom of the league and wonder, like, wait, why aren't you guys getting any better? Why are a third of you playing, you know, you're doing CTE wind sprints in October 15th, right? This is not a good situation to be in as a franchise. Outside of George Pickens, Romeo Dobbs is probably going to be the number one wide receiver who hits the open market in terms of high salary, multi-year deals. So I would assume that the Packers would at least be able to net a fourth for that. And then you're not including the value that you're getting from Dobbs playing out the rest of the season, especially when two of your best wide receivers are banged up and Savion Williams is still on a pitch count because he's a young kid. So who missed training camp and all that stuff because of injury. So I am firmly thumbs down on these trades. Again, Enagbare, I think, would have made a little bit more sense if the defensive line was looking a little healthier and a little better and well-conditioned. But right now, no chance. Don't pick up phones. No one pick up phones in Green Bay.
We are so 1,000,000% in lockstep on this one. I just have no interest in trading players away at this point. They're going to need all the depth through the remainder of the season.
I'll buy a D tackle.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
That's kind of it. Like, they're not going to make a move for a corner. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, right? Like, I'll buy a D tackle to help this rotation. It probably means that you have to move on from one of Brinson or Stackhouse, but. You know, what happened to all that urgency and all gas, no brakes, all that stuff? Like, are we that, or are we a draft and development program? At some point, you're going to have to decide.
I want me some Calais Campbell. After the Packers beat the Cardinals and make them trade Sellers at the deadline, I want Calais Campbell. Get him that one last run at a Super Bowl. He's still playing really well. Give me a 6'8" guy in the interior of the defensive line that weighs 300 pounds. He doesn't need to play more than 15 snaps in this defense. And he can play some on the end too if you need him to. I'm all in. I want Calais. I don't care how old he is. He's almost in retirement, like for like the 55 plus retirement, not just NFL retirement. I still want Calais Campbell on
AARP.
My team. Yes,
AARP
exactly.
AARP hours. At 6'8" too, you could probably block a kick, which I'd love to be on the other end of one of those.
It would be very nice. Every other team is blocking kicks at this point. Green Bay coming up with one would be nice as well. I'm with you on maybe getting a defensive tackle, as we've talked about, and being open to buying a player on the cheap, or even if it's not on the cheap, that's fine too. But and the other thing, just to your point, just to emphasize it even more, if either of these were like Micah is Micah, Rashawn Gary's playing amazing, LVN's healthy and amazing, and then Baron Sorrell looks like he's ready to play more snaps. You've got Colin Oliver healthy, and he's looking like he can be a player. And Brenton Cox is healthy. And then you've got Enagbare, and you're like, all right, crap, we've got seven of these guys, and we just simply cannot roster seven defensive ends. And, some team's offering a fifth-round pick for Enagbare, or somebody's offering a corner for Enagbare, or a defensive tackle for awesome. Cool. Like, you could probably make that work. But with Brenton Cox out, Brinson out, LVN battling injury, again, now is not the time. You just don't do it. You just say no. And with, again, some of the fatigue issues, all right, it's just a non-starter. Same thing at wide receiver. If Watson never had the injury and was at 100% and looking amazing this year, and Gold playing great, and Savion Williams is playing great, and Jaden Reed's healthy, and Wicks is healthy and playing great, and everything else is going just unbelievable at wide receiver, and you look at it, it's like, well, Romeo's leaving in free agency anyway. Like in a potential world, like he could be our like number five wide receiver, and we'd be like, it wouldn't even be the end of the world. And some team again is offering a defensive tackle or a corner, an offensive lineman. Sure, awesome, go ahead, do it. But with Reed and Watson and everyone, like it makes zero sense whatsoever.
Malik Heath played like 20 snaps at outside receiver in the second half of the last game that we just saw. You're not trading away Romeo right now. Unless again, like if someone is like, we'll give you a second for Romeo. Like, okay.
You probably have to say yes.
But. Yeah. At that point, I think you have to just off of the second half of the season.
And then I'm going to go and turn around and trade a third for a different wide receiver or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. But like,
still met it.
Yeah. I just don't think that offer is out there. So until that offer pops up, like, no, we're not doing it.
Let's transition over to Packers Cardinals. What are you watching for in this game? Obviously, we don't know the quarterback yet for Packers Cardinals, which is a problem. You
hit the big one. Maybe? Yeah.
Yeah.
You hit the big one. Are we seeing Kyler or are we getting Jacoby Brissett? Because I don't care what the coaching staff says. If, you know, they're probably going to come out and be like, look, we're going to prepare for all options, all that stuff. Those are two very different quarterbacks, especially like pass rush plans, all that stuff. Like, the way you attack Kyler is going to be totally different than Brissett. Brissett does not have anywhere near, you know, the foot quickness, speed, all that stuff that Kyler does. And Brissett is a big, tall guy who's going to throw it over the middle. That's not what Kyler is going to do, obviously, because he's a little short guy, right? So that's the biggest thing to me that I'm going to be tracking throughout the week. You know, there's – like, I can give you players and, like, things I would want the Packers to attack and stuff like that, but this Cardinals team hasn't really been cohesive. Like, I'm not really worried about the offensive line. I'm always, you know, going to be worried about this defensive line wearing out, though, moving forward, especially after the last two games that we saw. Marvin Harrison Jr., his status going into the game, I think is going to be really interesting, right? Max Melton, Bo Melton's brother at corner, has not been doing well for Arizona. He is getting lit up. I would like to see us attack him.
Agreed.
Are they going to line up Bo against Max? They're not going to do it, right? Not even for the game.
It's weird. Like, Matt has these weird things where sometimes he likes, like, featuring a player in games where, like, if you remember when they played Arizona last year, didn't Bo get like multiple targets within the game and like some different, like, he does these things where when there's like a family connection where a player's playing in their hometown, sometimes he features them a little bit more. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a Bo versus Max play in this game.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to see. I mean, he hasn't played a snap on defense yet in the regular season.
Nope.
And he's played like
four
on offense. Yeah. Something. So, some of these charting services probably have him listed as a wide receiver still, because that's the primary position he's playing outside of special teams. So maybe, it's a funky team. I have no handle on how that locker room is set up right now. The Cardinals were able to light up the Colts, and I'm sure a lot of people on the surface who aren't really paying super close attention are like, wow, the Colts are a very good team, and Jacoby Brissett threw all over them. Kinda. He did it against the Colts backups, though, because that entire secondary was just nuked. And then in the pregame, they had Tre'Davious Ward go down with a concussion, because what was it, like a practice squad tight end, like, ran through his head during one of these warm-up reps and stuff when they were testing him out on the field. Like, it was a very weird game in general. I don't assume that the Cardinals can take down one of these top teams. If the Packers lose, it will be because they shot themselves in the foot, not because of what Jacoby Brissett brings to the table. The Cardinals are also staring down a bye week on the other end of this. So, you know, with Kyler dealing with the Liz Frank issue, which, like, It hurts. It sucks. I had a Liz Frank one time. It's not fun. Basically, the way a lot of people have put it, have said, like, it wouldn't be a surprise if Kyler just sat this one out and then they had the bye, and then on the other end of it, you know, you come out healthier and you want to test it then, because it is one of those situations where like you can make it way worse if you come back a little bit early.
Yep.
And it's very painful again. And Kyler, his whole game is, you know, running around. So I'm kind of assuming that we're going to see Brissett, but you know, obviously things can change throughout the week, especially if you're a guy like Gannon, who you're what, they're 500 right now, I think, or on the wrong side of 500.
Wrong side.
Yeah. And, you know, you threw a punch at a player a couple weeks ago, and seems like the locker room is not in a great spot, and you can't feed your top five wide receiver, you know, selection, the football, all that stuff. Like, if he doesn't push Kyler, does he have a job after the bye week? I don't think that there's a promise there. You know, we already saw one guy get Cannon Callahan, so I guess we'll have to see.
We'll be right back. I was laughing because almost all the talking points, Nagler and I just did a preview episode for members for Thursday. And it was all the exact same things of like, I want to know who's playing at quarterback, attack Max Melton. And then like, I also said very clearly, like, I don't know what to make of this Cardinals team. Like, I don't know who they are, what they're trying to accomplish. They've got some good players, like Paris Johnson's a good player. Trey McBride is one that you have to step up and shut down a little bit. You know, Will Johnson's played really well at corner. Josh
very well.
Yes. Josh Sweat, Calais Campbell got a couple good defensive linemen, but I'm like, I don't know collectively how you put together like a winning football team here at the moment. It just is like all over the place. And then, the other thing I said too was kind of the psyche of the team, where they won their first two, they've lost their last four, all by a combined 9 points, and including as gut punching
the Tennessee game, dude.
Throwed out game in Tennessee is as bad as it gets. I mean, as bad as it gets, plus with the Gannon situation and there. And then I was like, I know they, you know, the Colts were a little bit beat up and stuff, but I have to say, Marvin Harrison goes down in that game early. You have no Kyler Murray. You're coming off one of the most devastating losses you could possibly imagine. And they battled like hell against the Colts overall, to the point where like, that's pretty impressive that they did, but still found like they still were on the losing end of that for their fourth consecutive loss. And now what you mentioned, have that bye coming up a week from now. And I just wonder, in the mindset of like, dude, we got our teeth punched in for 3 weeks, including a brutal loss against Tennessee, still gave you everything we had against Indianapolis. We lost that. I'm just kind of looking at that bye week and being like, I just need to get to that thing. I don't know where the psyche of this team is going to be in this game.
Yeah, it can be weird, especially with the quarterback split too. Like, I don't think so. Quarterbacks are weird, right?
Yes, they are.
You want those guys to be leaders, all that stuff. Some of these guys who are just like really talented and getting drafted high just aren't that. Like, they're just guys who just happen to be really good at football. And I think that gets projected into, like, people, like, hate them. And I don't think that that's the case. Like, I think, like, Kyler wears on older players in Arizona, from what I've heard. He wears on players in Arizona because he's maybe not as committed as other quarterbacks that they've played with who are a lot less talented, right? That is the opposite situation with Jacoby Brissett, who is like the pro's pro. Like, coming out of college, he was like handpicked by like Bill Parcells, and like Bill Parcells like loved him and thought that like you could build a team around a guy with like his mentality and stuff like that. Obviously, there's some, you know, a certain ceiling that you can hit when Jacoby Brissett is your quarterback, but like, just in terms of like the makeup in the locker room, in the preparation, all that stuff, that's kind of what you want. And just how the locker room would react to a split between those guys, if it's going to happen when the team is losing all these games, you know, could create an interesting situation. Like, I could, again, I don't know if it's blowing up. I don't think that it's blowing up this very second. That thing could explode depending on how this game goes. Because if you're sitting at, 2-5 going into the bye week, people aren't sure who they even want to start at the quarterback position. And this is, year three under Gannon? And he hasn't made the playoffs? I could absolutely see this thing just turning into an absolute tire fire if, the Packers can kind of put the nail in the coffin here.
Yeah, this feels like Arizona's last stand. They go to Dallas.
They need a win. Desperately.
After their bye, they go to Dallas, to Seattle, San Francisco, Jacksonville, at Tampa, LA Rams, at Houston.
And then
Atlanta at home. And they still have at Rams on their schedule too. Their only easy game is at Cincinnati.
Dallas, Dallas is going to put up points at minimum. Who knows who Jerry trades for by that point? He's begging for it right now.
This feels like their last stand. If this goes downhill here, it could go very, very south, very, very fast.
Yeah.
I did see.
You're already seeing it with certain, the Jets. I don't care what people say. The Jets have quit. The Titans look like, at minimum, they were frustrated with everyone and the direction that the franchise was going, right? I still think the Bengals have life in them. I still think the Browns have life in them. We're on quit watch, and it's October 15th. This is a terrible place to be as a franchise.
Wait till we get to 18 game seasons. You get even another one of those in there and on quit fest. But yeah, it could go very south for Arizona. I did see that you posted this could be a game with a lot of flags in it.
Oh my God! Yeah. So the story, more is the referee. More flags. That was the joke everyone made in the comment section. He was promoted from umpire right before the season started. So far, he is number one in penalties, number one in penalty yards, number one in penalties per game, and number two in penalty yards per game. So he's throwing everything. It's something like 8 false starts and offensive holdings is what he's averaging per game. The NFL average is 5 and change. For example, I know people are oh yay, Micah Parsons might finally get called for holding. But the other thing that he's throwing a ton of flags on is neutral zone infractions and offsides. Micah Parsons is the most flagged NFL player outside of defensive backs and offensive linemen because of offsides and neutral zone penalties. So I could see that being a double-edged sword, as much as people view it as just a positive. So yeah. A lot of penalties, which is not what you want to hear when one team is a whole lot more talented than the other team. You would just hope
to Super
Sim get to the end of the game.
let talent win, not penalties.
Yeah, but I do think that there's going to be a ton of penalties in this game. People made Bisaccia jokes, and I once again have to fall on the sword of educating people on special teams. There aren't that many penalties on the special teams unit. We're tied for 11th to 17th. We're league average in special teams penalties. Penalties are just up 40-something percent at this point. That's the reality. We're not at the top of the league. We just aren't.
We did it. Not the top of the league in penalties on special teams. I did like the kick returns a little bit more this past game as well. If there was another positive sign there, Savion Williams, Bo Melton looked good. Blocking looked good. I liked what we got.
We got 3 past 30, and we had 1 in the first 5 games. So yeah, I'll take that every time. They did make the swap at punt returner. The way I remember it, the 3 punts that they fielded were all with the returner backed up. Golden obviously messed it up on the first time and Fair caught it inside the 10, and then they had Dobbs out there. That might be a situational thing at this point, and we might have just gotten 3 of the situational punts in a row. So we don't have the control variable, right? I wouldn't be surprised if Golden is still the returner when it's in a more open field situation. So if the punt team is backed up or something that. But I do think that they want, Romeo or Keyshawn back there when they're backed up against that 10-yard line and just need to catch it.
Makes sense. Makes all the sense in the world. So yeah, I did think there were some positives on special teams. Really quick, you don't have to give a score or anything like that, but like kind of thoughts on prediction for this game?
You probably should win by like 10, right? Yeah. Against this team. You're more talented than them, especially if they're going to be down a quarterback, which they, again, probably are. I know that that's not set in stone, but I'm assuming Brissett is going to be the starting quarterback in this game. You should probably win by 10. So
what's the Mendoza line of happiness for Packers fans? What is the score that they would need to win by in order for Packers fans to actually be happy?
0.5. Cause if we get another tie, buddy, we will not hear the end.
Make it not nuclear. What's it to actually make it happy?
Happy. I don't know if these guys will be happy. I think people just want to get mad and watch games, man. I think that's it.
You might be right. I think if they win by 10, there should be happiness if they win by 10 in this game. I think there should be happiness. Anything above 10, I think there probably should be happiness even less than that. But if I think 10 or over would be a satisfying result. There'll still be complaints. Never mind. What am I talking about? Really quick. Minnesota Vikings do not name a starting quarterback this week. JJ McCarthy and Carson Wentz will get work this week as the starter, and Kevin O'Connell refused to name a starter for this upcoming week.
They flirted with Aaron all offseason.
Did they?
They clearly weren't fully sold. I mean, there were talks back and forth.
Yeah. Which O'Connell did talk about.
It seemed like their mentality was just, hey, man, we spent the pick on McCarthy. We can't kill him without at least getting a look at the guy, is kind of what their approach was, which,
yep,
fair. But I don't think everyone is aligned in Minnesota.
No,
I don't think the entire building is bought into, like, McCarthy is the quarterback of the future, right? And that offense is kind of quarterback-proof anyway. Like, Justin Jefferson's going to eat no matter who is out there at quarterback. We've seen them switch out these guys, right?
Yep.
So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think Wentz is your answer at the position. I still think his clock just moves so, like, the slowest clock in the NFL. Some of the hits that he takes just because he doesn't get the ball out is crazy to me. And that's what I worried about when he was coming out of North Dakota State. And it hasn't gotten better. So I don't think that the Vikings are going to go the distance. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they finish fourth in the division.
They're going to finish fourth in the division. I feel very confident in that. I think the only reason that this looks close right now is because the Bears choked away that week one game against JJ McCarthy, where he got player of the NFC player of the week by playing one good quarter. I think if the Bears win that, I think we're talking a lot differently about the Bears, and I think we're talking a lot differently about the Vikings. And I think the true better team in that game was Chicago. I think Minnesota is clearly the fourth team right now. And it's just remarkable to me that two of the better quarterbacks so far this year have been Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones, at least in the systems that they're in, who were both Minnesota Vikings last year, which is crazy.
Clint Kubiak is, like, he's going to be the guy this offseason cycle. Like, Clint Kubiak might be a reason why Jeff Hafley is an NFL head coach in 2026. Like, teams are going to fall over themselves to try to go sign the guy who turned Sam Darnold into a quarterback who is putting up, like, MVP caliber numbers.
Yeah, he's a really good coach. It's going to be a fun offseason cycle when we get there. And as you mentioned, some teams are already very much looking forward to that offseason cycle already, even though we're in mid-October. Justice Cannon, thank you enough. Obviously, Acme Packing Company, but anything you want to plug on the way out?
No. APC, I was on Frozen Tundra Frequencies, which I'll probably be popping on more for post-game stuff. If you guys want to go check that out for, you know, the APC writers have a podcast network. So go check that out. Gonna keep you guys posted up on, like, injury reports and stuff like that, because I will be hyper focused on that over the next couple days. I need to know who the starting quarterback is that we're gonna face, because if it's Kyler, I'm a little bit more worried. But hopefully he won't be at 100% if it is him. So
Give me anyone. The Packers need to go out and just play really good football in this game and win the game, regardless of who's at quarterback. I'm with you. I do think Kyler definitely presents more of a challenge than Brissett, but it'll be interesting either way. We'll be covering, or we'll be keeping an eye on all of your coverage over at acmepackingcompany.com and on Frozen Tundra Frequencies. Of course, following you on social media as well, at JUMOSQ. You can find me at Andy Herman NFL. That's going to do it for us today. But until next time, and as always, go Packo.